You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host, Aditya, and I have with me Pranita.
Hi, it's me again.
A long-awaited return after almost 2 years.
Yeah.
It's okay, there haven't been many podcasts while you've been away, so. Okay, so on that theme to address, we're coming back after 2 weeks. The reason is that we planned to do a podcast on Race 3 last week, but as always, life got in the way, and by life I mean our day jobs. For once, not mine, but my co-host Satyan, regular podcast contributor. So we delayed it to try and give him more time to be able to make it, but then the show times weren't in our favor. So anyway, I did watch Race 3, so I will share my thoughts on it. But we are first going to talk about Lust Stories, which was released on Netflix almost 2 weeks ago, I guess. 3 weeks ago now. So Pran, what did you think?
I actually really enjoyed it. It was kind of interesting. I mean, should we dive in straight?
Or? Yeah,
okay. I loved it. I thought it was totally different from some of the other stuff we have been watching recently. I also really liked the fact that there were four completely different stories.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated, but obviously the whole theme of lust, sex, and sex appeal, all of that kind of ran throughout the film. That was the only thing that tied it together. But
yeah,
other than that, it was like totally different lives.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about it is, like, given that it's a Netflix release, and if you put it in along with like the other digital shows in India, or shows or like movies releases in India, like a lot of the Indian content space, people just think because it's digital, let's put sex in it for no reason.
Yeah.
Like Inside Edge is a great example of that. And a lot of other like alt Balaji shows. And whereas like this, honestly, like the title is like almost like clickbait, because
yeah,
the shows are not necessarily very heavy in terms of like sex scenes or anything erotic happening. It's just about people's everyday life and how they deal with situations around, like you said, love, lust to an extent, and also just like relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's also like the relationships, or rather intimate relationships, shared between different combinations of people that you wouldn't just see in most movies.
Yeah.
So, and it was all in each film, I mean, each short story, it's like a different relationship. So the first one is between a teacher and student, and who's married. And then
the teacher's married.
Yeah, the teacher's married. And then the other one is between like a helper and their employer,
like, yeah,
or whatever. The other one is between a married woman and her husband's best friend.
Yeah.
And the last one is between basically a married couple.
Newly married couple.
Yeah, a newly married couple. So it's really interesting to see these different dynamics. Obviously, some are more expected than the others, and while some are quite shocking and unexpected. I mean, for me, the one that kind of took me back a lot was actually the one with Bhumi. Yeah,
so
which
that
was
Zoya
directed
Akhtar.
By Zoya Akhtar, yeah. That one definitely kind of was really surprising, because the initial scene just like really because that's the starts off,
yeah,
right away with them having sex. And then after they finish, you just see her like kind of walk around the house, and you're a bit confused of what her role is. And then she just goes down to the ground and starts mopping the floor. And then you sort of put it all together. And
yeah. So with that film, right, I liked Bhumi's performance in it a lot.
Yeah,
and
she
the
was
reason,
great.
Yeah. And the reason I liked it, which is like a thing that's very lacking, I find, in most like Indian content, is she doesn't have a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
I think in the whole like 20 or 30 minute film, she probably says like 3 lines.
Yeah.
But she is still able to communicate so much through her eyes and through her expression and stuff. It's really nice. And yeah, that one I think was the shortest of the four in terms of length. And yeah, it was good. Yeah, initially I wasn't like exactly sure whether she was actually a helper or was she just his wife or like a girlfriend or what. So
yeah, exactly what I meant. Like, it's so hard to tell in the first like 2-3 minutes what's going on until you see her get into fully cleaning the house. But there was also like different aspects that I liked that was like a lot more moving. It's like the end scene where she gets out and she's trying to take the elevator to go down, and then her friend, who's also a cleaner at someone else's house, comes out and she's kind of showing off her little new dress that her boss gave her. And, you know, at the end, you just see like it's such a beautiful dress and she's so excited. And then, you know, Bhumi kind of points out to the fact that it's like fully ripped up on one side. And the girl's like, oh, it's fine. There's nothing I can't fix, you know, by stitching it up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a cute, very sad, and almost a very real, real moment you experience. So I feel like that movie I really like because it took a different turn that, you know, and also like the relationship when the guy, so her boss's family, parents come and visit, you know, like they kind of talk amongst each other. They're always hanging out. But exactly like you said, like she doesn't have a lot of lines because they, as a family, don't interact with her very much.
Yeah, it's almost like she's invisible. There's even this one moment where she comes and she gives everyone chai. And like she's still like in the room or she's walking off, but is very much can hear everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And the dad is just like, oh yeah, her tea is like not very good, but she's a good girl or something like that.
Exactly. So like you said, I think the fact that she doesn't have a lot of lines ties in with the whole idea of like, I think in a lot of households, like your help are kind of ignored.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I thought it was very, a lot more moving and kind of eye-opening than the other stories, even though I really did enjoy the other stories. But this one definitely like was a lot more striking for me personally.
Yeah, I quite like that. I think my personal favorite though was actually Karan Johar's film.
That one was hilarious as well.
Yeah, which was honestly not what I expected when I started watching the film. But that's the thing, like I feel like because this film is obviously a sequel of sorts or a spiritual sequel to Bombay Talkies, which followed the same concept. And even in that film, Karan Johar's like segment was so good. And I think like when he doesn't have this box office pressure of, you know, having to work with big stars and push this certain image of his, when he actually focuses on making
something good, like something, just content wise. Yeah,
it's really good. And I don't think this one matches up to his film in Bombay Talkies, because that was, I think,
Haven't watched Bombay Talkies.
Oh, okay. So you should definitely watch that. So in Bombay Talkies, his film is basically about this guy who's gay, but is like hidden it from his family and his friends like for his whole life.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like the less you know about it, the better.
Basically,
so I won't tell you.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, basically. But I mean, not really though. But like, it obviously comes from a place of close
empathy,
strong,
sympathy.
Correct.
Relatability.
But that's a really good film. And actually, like, I think out of Bombay Talkies, like, even if you don't watch the rest of it, definitely watch that one. It's the first one.
Yeah, okay, I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, so this one is a bit more, it's almost like somewhere in between. There is a bit of, like, in the initial, when the film started, I was like, okay, after, and in this one, his film is last. So after watching the first three, which are all very real stories, like you said, the start of this still had an air of a bit of over-the-top make-believe.
Bollywood like, romance.
Correct,
definitely.
And also like Neha Dupia's character is just this like overly
sensual creature.
Which I felt was a bit off. And then the first time they meet him, there's like a lot of this like cheesy dialogue and stuff happening about ice cream and all of this. But then once it gets past that into Kiara's story and her marriage, I found it really good, like, because I
felt good.
No, I found it good. But it was funny, which I didn't find in any of the others.
Yeah, I don't think the others were necessarily meant to be funny.
Yeah, they weren't, but I'm saying it was a nice kind of relief.
Yeah.
Where it,
exactly, because the first three were very serious, very real, and then this one is, to be honest, like, I hate to say this, but it was very Karan Johar.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just was him in every way. Like you said, like, the way it started out, it was, like, there was this, like, era of, like, romanticism, like love.
Yeah.
It's just very, it was very Bollywood, but it was also like, it was real, you know, it was like a very Bollywood take on something real.
Yeah. I think also I was surprised by Kiara Advani.
I must admit, me too. I've never watched her.
Dhoni.
I didn't watch Dhoni.
You didn't watch Dhoni?
I didn't. Because I don't like Shashank Rajput Singh.
They're making a sequel of Dhoni, by the way.
So I really didn't want to watch it. And I heard she wasn't a good actress. So I didn't. Everything about that cast wasn't motivating. But I was surprised. She was really good in this.
Yeah.
But I also really love Vicky Kaushal as an actor.
So I really love him as an actor. I thought in this he kind of...
He went flat.
He was a bit underwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's because he wasn't like the more prominent role in it. Like, it was more about her. He was supposed to be this like flat husband.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
Flat in movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I also quite liked... So, I mean, one of the reasons why I liked this more, and it's completely a personal preference. This was the only story of the four which had kind of a clear beginning, middle and end. Like it felt like a roundish story in and of itself.
Yeah, it was like wrapped up in 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I also liked the ending where it's not like the ending could have been either very dramatic of, okay, no, family comes first, everything is done.
Yeah.
Or it could have been very cheesy of, no, let's forget everything and start afresh. But it's not that. It's like in the middle, and Kiara as a character still has kind of her dignity and her force of will, where she's like, I don't know what I want to do. I'm just going to take things as it comes right now. I just want to have some ice cream. So I like that even though it was open-ended, like as that story, as a narrative, it had a clear beginning and end point. All the others, I felt like it was like a scene in a movie or a scene in like an extended show or in something, as opposed to like a clear... a story in and of itself. But that was just, that's just me.
I actually disagree with that point. I do get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons I enjoyed some of them was because they kind of like opened this perspective, and it's like, it was left a bit, like you said, it wasn't like wrapped up, but I feel like there's a reason why it wasn't wrapped up. Like, say for instance, the one by Debakar Banerjee.
Yeah.
With Manisha Koirala. And what's it?
Sanjay Kapoor.
Yeah, so basically the story behind that one is she is married to Sanjay Kapoor. She's cheating on him with his best friend. And the long story short, at the end, he kind of finds out about it and they ride home together. He basically like picks her up from his best friend's house, who she's having an affair with. So it's like all these little layers that in most circumstances, I would imagine, would cause like a huge fight, a huge scene.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it kind of touches in on this point where it's like, you know, people care so much about, I don't know, like, I feel like keeping up an appearance. And also in India, especially, like, people always rave about this fact that, India's divorce rate is really low, blah, blah, blah. But I don't necessarily believe it's because people are happy. I believe it's because people are worried about what society would think.
Yeah.
So I think the last scene of this movie, the reason I think Pish thinks it's open-ended is because, like, they just get in the car, he picks her up, and they just drive away. And she just gets on the phone, she's having, like, a little giggle and chat with her friend.
Yeah.
He's doing his own thing. They don't bicker about it, they don't fight about it, they just drive off. So I feel like that just lies to this fact that how in a lot of marriages, it's just, like, they just accept it, and they just don't want to deal with it because of the image they have to keep up. So I kind of feel like it's like that mundaneness of people's marital lives. Like, it's just like flat. It just keeps going. There's no beautiful end. There's no happy ending. It's just going.
Yeah. There was another moment also that I really liked, which is when she first tells him.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm having an affair with Sudhir.
Yeah.
And like, she tells him the whole story in the background. And at the end, he's like, oh, Sudhir, like this guy from like that investments, because he just like blanks in his mind that, oh, it's my best friend Sudhir.
Yeah,
even though it's like clearly who she's talking about.
Yeah, it's like you're in his house right like, now.
Yeah. It's like not this guy, right, like that other guy. Like, I found that to be quite nice.
Yeah,
it was a nice touch.
And but then, also what confused me is that his character didn't want Sudhir to know that he knew about their affair.
I think that's like because...
Is it about image?
A male ego slash image thing. And because also... because I think there's also that other track going on of him closing this like big business deal.
Oh, yeah.
Which this guy had helped him connect him to that guy.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like that always thing of like, oh, to keep up your connections and your business.
Yeah.
You just like let other things slide.
Yeah, so I actually liked how that one didn't kind of wrap up. I actually really liked the ending for that one, definitely. I will admit the story that bothered me the most or I didn't enjoy at all was the first one, which is the Radhika Apte one. Yeah. I love her as an actress. I think she's amazing. And she did act well because she was like convincingly crazy.
That one I just felt, because that was Anurag Kashyap's film.
Yeah.
I honestly felt it was just like, okay, Anurag Kashyap being like, I have a license to like experiment and do something artistic.
Yeah, let me just do something nuts.
Let me do something artistic for the sake of it. Like, it was very weird because, I mean, okay, so the story itself is of Radhika Apte and her
student.
Her student. And it's a bit weird because at first I thought it's going to like reverse that whole stereotype of like, oh, guys are players and they don't have emotional connection. They can just sleep with someone. Because that's how it starts. Radhika Apte sleeps with her student. And she's like, listen, this is just like a... This is...
One time, I hope you don't fall in love
with me. Better not fall in love with me, this, that, and all of that. And then, yet, she is the one who ends up, like, getting almost, like, obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And
but that's, like, most girls.
I mean, okay.
Who say, don't do this, and then, like, oh my god.
Yeah, but that's... But, like, that's... Like, I feel like that's the stereotype, right? Like, I'm sure there are also girls out there who... are fine just sleeping with people and not forming an emotional connection.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was like, so at the start I was like, okay, this is nice. He's reversing the whole narrative, but then he doesn't and he just goes with that. So I mean, anyway, so that's happening. But then in between there are these cutaways of Radhika Apte talking to camera as though it's like a documentary or a, you know, where she's just giving, like just talking about her philosophy on love. And life and like random stuff.
Yeah, which was super weird.
Yeah, it was just really strange. Like it didn't make, most of it didn't even make that much sense.
Yeah. So to go on, to write on that little statement you made about how it was kind of nice, the dynamic is like, at the first like 5 minutes, she was made to be like the player, the one that's like, don't fall for me. But that's what annoyed me is the fact that he put her like that and then totally flipped it.
Yeah.
So it really bugged me because it's like, oh, yeah, okay, yes, we get it. Like, there are girls who are crazy, but it's like, I'm kind of happy you're portraying her as this, like, power woman who's doing whatever she wants. And then it's like, you spin the whole narrative, and she just goes crazy.
Yeah.
And then slowly you're like, at one point I was like, okay, maybe we're kind of getting off track because she starts having an affair with another professor instead.
Yeah, which also doesn't go anywhere. Like, it's just random.
But
because...
then it just, like, abruptly ends, and then she goes back to being crazy for this... guy, but then it was, but the end was kind of funny though when the student says, oh hey, actually, you know what, I'll leave my girlfriend because I like you, and she's like, what, are you crazy, I'm married. So it was kind of funny. Like, I mean, there were bits of it that made me laugh, that last sentence, because I was like, wow, she's nuts. But I just, there's certain parts of it where I just didn't understand the point.
And like, I think that this is the only one where like I felt like all of the other films in some way or the other captured some, not like maybe not an issue, but like just some reality about our society. Like Zoya Akhtar's film talks about the help or the lower class and the fact that they also have sexual urges that are treated as invisible. Dibakar's film talks about the whole keeping up appearances and how
marital struggles
adhere to society's thing. Karan Johar's also talks about the fact that sex is not just about male pleasure, and it's also about female pleasure, and women are not, their only desire in life is not to have children, which is what Kiara's mother-in-law is preaching throughout the film. Whereas this first Anurag Kashyap's film is just the story of a crazy person. Like, it doesn't really tackle anything or do anything.
But you know, who is to say it is a crazy person? That, you know, like, maybe we just didn't understand it.
I mean, yeah.
Because there were,
probably,
I mean, that's
what Anurag Kashyap would say.
Yeah. He's probably like, you guys just aren't aware of this side of the world.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what I think. Like, that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, okay, fine, we get it. Like, there are girls like this. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like there are certain aspects of it that could have been changed or omitted, rather. Like, I feel like the whole professor angle could have just been cut. You know, they could have just spun it around, like, her having an affair with her student, going crazy, he has a girlfriend, she goes crazy, and then when he falls in love, it's like, are you fucking mad? Like, that would have still been a better plot without introducing the third person.
Correct, yeah.
So I feel like him was just, like, I felt like it was going somewhere else and then it didn't.
And I felt his character was also, like, the most caricaturish and not like, real out of all the characters.
His was the worst character in all the films, for sure. He was like this like nerdy, geeky professor who was obsessed with the idea of monogamy. And
penguins.
Well, what did he say when they want to make love?
He's like, let's fornicate.
Yeah, fuck. Oh my gosh. And then she's like, do you mean fuck? Like, exactly. Like, he was just so unrealistic. It's like, he just wanted an ultra nerdy guy, but there's so many ways to find an ultra nerdy guy without making him that bizarre.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that could have been avoided. But yeah, overall, I think it was a really fun watch. And I personally love the fact that it's on Netflix because it's so easily accessible. For me, at least, because I have Netflix.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, like, I think it's good. Like, it's... I mean, I like the other, because it's four films, you also don't have to watch all of them at once.
Exactly. I watched two and then paused and then went back to it.
I think I watched all four separately, if I'm not wrong. Although I think there is some value to watching it all at once, but
yeah,
like you have that flexibility. But yeah, so overall verdict, watch.
Definitely watch. You can possibly skip the first, but it's all, I think they're all really good and definitely worth a watch, especially the last three.
Cool. So a couple of items before we sign off. I did watch Race 3.
Oh dear.
So honestly, and like, you've seen Race 1 and 2, right?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't?
Okay. I haven't stooped that low.
No, honestly, Race, so I said this on the earlier podcast, so I won't dwell on it. But like, Race has a certain thing about it, which makes it what it is.
Yeah.
Which is like, insane plot twists and this like weird intermingling of a high action film like a Fast and Furious and this like typical Bollywood family drama of like siblings and fathers and sons and whatnot.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. It was terrible. Good lord. I was like, that's enough to make me not want to watch this movie.
No, okay. So that's for Race 3. I'm talking about Race 1 and 2.
Oh, right. Sorry. Like,
there's like that, those certain things about it, and you know it's a bit over the top and you know it's a bit unrealistic.
Yeah.
But in no different a way that Fast and Furious is also over the top and unrealistic.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, in the first half of this film, so first of all, when the trailer came out, everyone was like, this is not Race. Because, like, you've removed Saif and you've put Salman Khan.
Yeah, it was really bad.
And it's
really
not
bad.
By Abbas Mastan, and it's shit.
Yeah.
And so for the first half, it's exactly that. I think 90% of the trailer is from the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's appalling. Like, the dialogue is horrible. The actors are horrible. The direction is horrible. Like, everything about the film is horrible.
So, Satyan got lucky.
No, well, I'm getting to that. So, for the first half, I texted Uttara, my fiancé, an observer of this podcast who's just sitting here and doing her makeup instead of participating. I texted her saying, I'm thinking about walking out of this film because it's so bad.
And
because I actually quite liked Race 1 for sure. And Race 2, I tolerated just because it was a sequel. But I quite like for what they are, they're enjoyable. Like, you know, you're not going to get very logical and thought through plot or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just fun. And this was so bad. Like, I considered walking out of the interval. And I've sat through some pretty horrific
films.
Including Great Grand Masti. Oh. And, yeah, others. But I was like, okay, whatever. And I think the good, like, because I watched it in Singapore in a Golden Village theater,
mm-hmm.
where there was no intermission, I didn't have the opportunity to like have a break. I think if there was an interval, I would have just left and not come back for the second half. But because there was no interval, I was like, okay, fine, let's just give this a few more minutes and see how it goes. And then in the second half, it actually becomes Race. Like, it brings back all the elements from the first two films, which are good.
Yeah.
Like, the plot twists are, like, out of this world. They're crazy. Like, legitimately.
Okay.
Like, so, yeah, I quite enjoyed the second half. Unpopular opinion, as I can see from the judgmental looks that I'm getting.
Yeah.
It's honestly not. It's just the first half is so bad. But the second half is not that bad.
Yeah, I can't really comment on this because I also don't like Jacqueline.
She is pretty
fucking annoying.
Then you should definitely not watch this film.
Yeah, I can't.
So, despite the fact that the second half was better, there were a bunch of pretty crazy things, amazing things that happened in this film. Maybe one day Satyan and I will do a catch-up episode once it comes on Amazon Prime Video. But a couple of things are Jacqueline just talks in this weird American accent throughout the film. Where she's like, oh my god, really? Like the typical like...
Bimbo, yeah. Tits, wannabe.
Yeah. And is like, for no reason. Like there's no explanation for it. It's just there. And everyone else tries to like imitate her.
Just like there's no explanation to why she's still in Bollywood.
I mean, there's an explanation for that, but... Anyway, the other weird thing is Saqib Saleem and Daisy Shah just say bro in every sentence, no matter who they're talking to. Like, and they just say like, ye kya hai bro? What's happening, bro? Why did you do this? Like, every sentence is just bro for no reason, which is just really weird and off-putting. Bobby Deol is shirtless in the film. But there's also this weird thing, like a lot of the fight scenes are like oddly sexualized. Like there's a scene of Daisy Shah and Jacqueline fighting each other, and it's like, if you watch it, it's like watching a dance and not a fight, because like all their movements are like perfectly synchronized and like everything is in like slow motion, and there's no reason for the fight. Like it's not part of the story.
Yeah,
like it just, they just see each other, they get pissed off, they start fighting. And it doesn't go anywhere either. There's like no connection to anything else that happened. It's just there. And then even Salman Khan and Bobby Deol, the same thing happens at the end. Like there's this fight where like it becomes clear that they're on different teams, quote unquote. And Bobby Deol and Salman go and have this fight, during the course of which their shirts come off magically. And then at the end of the fight, Salman Khan is about to kill Bobby Deol. He stops. And then the fight is over. They're like, okay, cool. Now we're not fighting anymore. We're done.
Oh, God. Like,
so yeah, a bit strange things like that do happen.
Bear in mind, 10 minutes ago, he just said he quite enjoyed the second half.
I did. Like, except for these two fight scenes, I quite enjoyed the second half of the movie.
All right.
I did not enjoy the first half of the movie at all. And all the songs, except Hirie, which I like, all the songs are like...
bad.
Forget bad. The lyrics of these songs are just at a different level. I can't even explain. There's one song where the lyrics are, it's Saturday party ho rahi hai, main aur tu, saath hai hum, haath mein tattoo.
Oh God.
It's just like, what? What is happening? Why? And apparently Salman Khan wrote the lyrics for some of the songs.
Oh.
And it's very evident.
That's horrible.
So... yeah, anyway, watch out for a fuller, more detailed review of Race 3 coming.
Just listening to your words on this is traumatizing enough. Like, imagine having to sit through the movie.
Well, that's like, usually watching these movies are fun for that reason also. And doing the podcast on these movies is fun.
Yeah.
But in the first half, I was just drained. But then the second half brought it back a little bit. Cool. And then since we talked about Lust Stories being a Netflix original. Day After Tomorrow is the release of Sacred Games, which is India's first Netflix original series, which has Saif Ali Khan and Nawazuddin, and it's made by Anurag Kashyap and Vikramaditya Motwane.
That sounds really good. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, and it's
good. Is it on all Netflix or just Netflix India?
It'll be on all Netflix.
Oh,
their
awesome.
Originals are usually released on like everywhere.
All of them?
Yeah.
Sweet!
And yeah, like some of the, even though it like releases to on Netflix on Friday, like there have already been some screenings held in Mumbai, and like some of the journalists and stuff have got to see it. And so far, like all the reviews have been like really good, including some like international reviews, who just like, because Netflix has a lot of these shows, right?
Yeah.
Like Money Heist or Narcos or whatever.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of like international reviewers who also just review all Netflix originals.
And they've
liked it and said that it's like really good.
I'm excited. So that's quite refreshing for a change, right? Because usually you associate Indian series with like the over the top obnoxious ZTV stuff.
And I think like Netflix has been very calculated in their entry to India, and they would said that they're only going to partner with like really like the top production houses, and in general, like, the original teams puts in a lot of effort, and there's a lot of, like, data that goes behind everything that they make.
Yeah.
So I think
so you get promising content.
Yeah, which will better. I think, like, they're happy to play, like, the longer game and, like, release only one or two shows a year in India and have them be really good.
Yeah.
As opposed to Amazon, which has gone the opposite approach and released, like, 10 shows. And they're all, like, average at best and terrible at worst. So
fair.
Yeah. Cool. Obviously, we've been missing for a few weeks. So there's a lot of trailers that we haven't covered. But we are going to do that on the next episode after the review of Sanju, which Yay! We will watch this weekend. So that wraps up this episode. Thanks, Pran, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. That's our show. If you enjoyed that, then please subscribe and spread the word. Bollywood Weekly is available on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Audioboom, and pretty much anywhere else where you might get your podcasts. And if you have any comments or anything you want us to discuss on the show, then do get in touch with us by following TIC Productions on Facebook and on Twitter. See you next week.